hanging out at night. You're just living in a fool's paradise. Yeah, you're just living in a fool's, a fool's paradise. Be wise, son.
Be wise, son.
Lenard Rutledge, a wise man indeed, on WLRN's Evening Jazz. That comes from Lenard's recording Hello World. So let's take this moment to say hello, Lenard Rutledge.
Hello, Evening Jazz. Hello, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing great, doing great.
I imagine you are. You're a busy man these days. But before we start talking about that, I do want to ask you about the tune we just heard, Fool's Paradise. I like that one, and apparently you dig it too. So tell us, how did you come to record that one?
Well, my strength has always been singing the blues. You know, I don't know why. I think my voice is kind of suited for singing the blues. And Don Wilner brought that to my attention. He felt like that would be a good tune. I think Mose Allison, I heard his version of it. Then I did some more research on it, and I think I heard Sam Cooke do it. And I said, well, didn't hear many other people doing it, so I said, yeah, might as well just do this. And we did it a lot at the Van Dyke when I was performing there on a weekly basis. So we decided to take it to the studio and record it, and it came out pretty good. That was the first take, by the way.
Okay, show off. Well, one take Rutledge, I love it.
Well, one or two takes at least.
Okay. So, as I said, you're a busy man. You got stuff coming up this weekend. Tell us where we can find you.
Okay, this Friday I'll be at Jazz on the Palm in West Palm Beach, Florida. I think that's 101 South Flagler Street in West Palm Beach. They have like a monthly jazz series where they feature an artist. And I did that show one time before with Mike Levine. I was the featured vocalist. So the organizer there, I forgot his name. He's gonna kill me. He got in contact with me and asked me to come on up. And I called Kimberly to go ahead and set everything up. And from KCC Productions, she did the promotion stuff for me. And we decided we'd go on up there on Friday and do our thing.
Okay. So that's one date.
And on Saturday, another KCC Productions event, I'll be at Concert on the Fairway. I'll be there with Miss Lisa Richards. And that starts, I think the one on Friday starts at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, and on Concert on the Green at the Senator Course in Miami Lakes. What is the Don Shula Golf Course? Concert on the Fairway starts at 7. And Lisa will be going up first, and I'll be coming behind her.
So you're doing what I've come to think of as one of those local tours this weekend.
Yeah, trying to, you know, I mean, it's always fun to get out and do concerts instead of just doing club dates. Because at least with concerts, you know, people are sitting there and they're listening. You know?
They have come to hear you, not just to drink and talk to their friends, yeah.
Yeah, drink and talk while I'm trying to perform, you know.
And for those of us who may have come to see you in a club and may not have heard you tell your life story there, would you tell my friends a little bit about Lenard Rutledge, where he comes from? And
Well, just a little bit. Born and raised in Miami, Florida. Grew up in the Episcopal Church, St. Agnes Episcopal Church over town, where we sang everything. So that's where I think I got my start in terms of hearing music and singing it. And Mom and Dad had a vast music collection. I heard a lot of Count Basie, Joe Williams, Arthur Prysock. That was my father's collection. My mom played a lot of Nat King Cole, and I heard the OJs and Earth, Wind, and Fire and all of that stuff. And I grew up listening to a lot of WLRN. That's what we had to listen to right in the car with my father, you know.
Another child trapped with public radio.
Yeah, well, it was a good brainwashing, and I try to do the same thing with my children also. So, and I remember in college, people used to say, well, Rutledge, man, how come you're always singing songs that nobody else knows? And that's because my dad brainwashed me, and I was singing old songs, and people my age just hadn't heard those things before. But then, you know, in the jazz band, we end up playing those things anyway, but I already exposed to it.
So you were a step or two ahead.
I was more than a step or two. I was miles ahead of those guys because I had the idiom down in my brain, you mm-hmm. know. So.
From all those years of good brainwashing.
Good brainwashing, yeah. I'm passing it along to my children also. Me and my wife, we're cleaning them up so that they could have some good taste when they become adults.
What was it, though, that brought you from hearing the music of your family and the music in church to making you a musician?
Well, I don't know. I think that just like with anybody, that's when they're born, God kind of stamps you with your individual talent or gift or whatever God wants you to give to the world. I think that I was just stamped with this gift. You know, I tried to run from it, too.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, you know, I think I got my first drum set when I was 5 years old. And music, I come from a musical family. My uncle on my father's side, he was a jazz drummer. He actually did a little mini tour with Cannonball Adderley and went to Canada with him and stuff like that until he got sucked into the Korean War. Mm. And that's because he left college. And then on my mother's side of the family, my mother's sisters and brothers, they all were singers and played piano. And I had an uncle, my uncle Lowell, was a music teacher. He was a band director in Jacksonville, Florida. So I was always exposed, and I got my first drum set at five. And I would be playing along with the records that I heard in the house and stuff like that. And took lessons at age 10, and you know, just like all the other kids, I wanted to be an athlete. So I played little league football for five seasons, and then when I got into high school, the music bug hit me again. So I was in a marching band at Miami Central. You know, at that time we were the best, and probably the best in the state, I think. You know, other people will beg to differ.
But we won't have that fight now.
Yeah, well, hey, listen. The record speaks for itself.
Okay, then.
Anyway, so, and then when I went off to college, I did major in music in college. That's when I started to run from this music thing because my mom kind of convinced me that, you know, hey, listen, you want to have a secure future, you need to go ahead and major in a science, you know. And I shouldn't have listened to my mom, but I did. But at the same time, I was doing the science thing, not doing a very good job at it, of course.
That sounds familiar. Which science was it?
I have a degree in industrial hygiene and safety from St. Augustine's College. Well, it's St. Augustine's University now.
In Raleigh, yeah.
Raleigh, North Carolina. But everyone thought I was a music major because I was always in the fine arts building. So. And I was like the backup drummer for the first couple of years I was there. And then, so I never got a chance to really play anything, maybe one or two tunes. So I kind of hinted and begged and all that stuff, and my band director, Dr. Jeffries, he let me sing a couple of tunes, and then it turned into four tunes and five tunes, and then the rest is history. I remember my first semester at St. Aug, I recorded a jingle, playing drums and singing. So I should have just switched my major to music because this thing has had me by the throat for the longest.
Well, you know how it is. We are raised to listen to our parents, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever do anything with that degree in industrial hygiene and safety?
Well, not directly, but I did work as an environmental investigator for the Department of Environmental Resources Management in Dade County. I did that for 11 and a half years. And, you know, it was a good little run, but still, you know, it didn't allow me to be creative. I think I was fortunate because I used the money from that job to build my little recording studio where I did a lot of recording, and well, actually I wasn't recording jazz. I was recording a lot of hip hop and R&B at the time, contemporary jazz.
Are you still operating the studio?
Well, no, but I picked it back up, you know, because performing is great. I love performing. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you get tired of doing everybody else's music and you want to come up with something, you want to do your own stuff, you mm-hmm. know, you want to do some original stuff. So I'm back in the studio and I've got some buddies of mine and we've been talking about doing what they, I guess if you had to categorize it, which I hate doing, it would be considered what they would call a contemporary soul project.
Okay.
Yeah, and what we're going to do is we're not going to do a full album. Well, we're going to just keep recording and recording and recording, but we're going to just release an EP every two to three months. We'll release like maybe 3 to 5 songs and just go ahead and just kind of like just give people bits and pieces of it. And because it's, I think that a lot of times when you release a full album, a lot of the songs get lost in the shuffle, you know, because people will put a CD in or something like that. And by the time they get where they're going, they don't even listen to the rest of the CD, you know.
Will you be doing any of that material this weekend?
No, because I don't have the sheet music for it. My the computer that I have my the sheet music on for that stuff, it died on me but so hey, well, we'll just have to go ahead and find another way to do it. But see, when you're doing live performances, you pretty much don't want to do a lot of your original material, or probably even none of it, because you want to do music that people can identify with, you know, something that they've heard before, because that, you know, they can remember a place and time when they heard that music. So we're going to be doing stuff that people have heard before, because that always works. It always works. You got to give the people what they want.
There you go. So who's going to be with you this weekend helping you to give the people what they want?
Well, I'm going to have the same rhythm section on both dates. I'm going to have on drums, I have Mr. Mike Harvey, piano, Mr. Mike Levine. On bass, electric bass, Nikki Orta. And on Friday night up at Jazz on the Palm, I'm going to have Felipe Lamoglia. And on Saturday night, same rhythm section, but I'm going to have Milton Mustafa II on alto. Well, he's probably going to bring alto. He's going to be on alto sax.
Okay. Your special saxophone guests. I saw them listed someplace. All right. Run over it again for us, please, Lennart. The times and places for Friday and Saturday.
Well, Friday, Jazz on the Palm. I think it's Centennial Square. I know the address is 101 South Flagler Street, and that's in West Palm Beach. And they do this once a month. And we're going to, I think we hit at 8, and we go from 8 to 10. And that's a nice little spot too. If you guys haven't gone, you have to check it out. You know, look for it on the web. That's a great spot to go to. And then Concert on the Fairway. Kimberly Chimura from KCC Productions brought me in on that. She's been trying to get me there for like 3 or 4 years, and they finally relented and let me in there. So I got to show and prove. Can't let her down. That's going to be we hit at I think Downbeat is at 7. And that's when Lisa Richards will be going on first, and then I'll be going on after her.
The price for both of these events is the nice price.
The nice price, yes, free. Bring your lawn chairs out to Concert on the Fairway. That's a beautiful spot, too. I played golf out there like 3 or 4 times. Always a good crowd out there. And the one in Jazz on the Palm is right on the water, too. It's a beautiful spot. So, yeah, come on out and hear some... Support live music. It makes you feel good. You sleep better at night.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So speaking of live music, Lennart, you've been around for a minute or two, even though, you know, you don't look a day over 19.
Really?
You've been in this area. It's home to you, and you came back here, and you've made a career in music here, which I guess has had its ups and downs, or should we say its downs and ups. And can you tell us a little bit about what it's been like for you working as a musician in South Florida all this time?
Well, you know what? A lot of people, they want to go to New York because they feel like if you can go to New York and you'll meet all the top guys and all that stuff, and then you can go on and you know, and make it anywhere, you know. That's what they say. You make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. But you know what? I found that there are a lot more places to play here in South Florida, and the styles are more diverse because you got the Latin community. And, I mean, you got the cruise ships. You got so many places to play here. When I moved back here in 97, I hooked up with someone that I met first when I was in high school. He used to arrange for my high school band, and that is none other than Milton Mustafa. And I approached him with a couple of, I think I had a cassette at the time. I'll tell you how long ago that was. That was like 1997. He listened to it, and he gave me a chance to audition. And I was with his big band for like 7 years. And on Halloween, I did a gig with him again, and that was so much fun. And he's looking real good. You know, he's been battling some health issues, but it looks brand new to me. So after Melton's band, I kind of made a lot of friends that came through his band, because that's kind of like a revolving door of talent that comes through there. Everybody wants to play with Melton's band. And I met, I think Lenny Steinberg brought me into the Van Dyke, where I met Don Wilner. And then Don had me there for maybe 3 or 4 years, once a week, and learned a lot of music and had a lot of fun. I got into Brazilian music from hanging around Don and Mike Orta. And then after that, I broke away, and Randy Singer, who's now the director of music at the Van Dyke, he had me at the Lowe's Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I was there for like maybe 5 or 6 years, once a week. And that gave me a chance to really try out some new music, and so it's been a nice run. Plus, you got the private parties and stuff like that. You know, I think I did Las Solas. I think what is it called? What was it called? Kitty Ryan's place that was called O'Hara's.
O'Hara's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad that that's not around anymore. So I've been around. I've been around. I haven't really committed to do music full time yet, because, you know, I don't know. It's a big step, you know, mm-hmm. especially when I'm a father, you know. And you know, if you're gonna make this step, you know, you probably have to leave town and get on the road. And I think I want to see my kids every day, because they need that. They need their dad around.
How old are your kids?
I have an 11-year-old son, Ellington, and a 5-year-old daughter, Layla.
Ellington and Layla. Okay, there are stories there. I guess I'm going to go ahead and have to ask you.
Well, Ellington, Duke Ellington, of course, mm-hmm. you know, got to give him the royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And Layla, my wife and I went and saw Layla Hathaway. And I think my wife was pregnant at the time, and she said, I think we should name her Layla. Like, I think you're right.
Okay, and here I'm thinking it's the Clapton Layla. All right, that works.
No. It was actually Layla Hathaway, because Layla she blew us away that night.
Okay.
And it was pretty good.
Okay.
Her middle name is Rochelle, too. So, you know, my wife's a Rochelle Pharrell fan, too. So.
Okay. Has either of them shown any interest in becoming a musician?
My son plays saxophone. He's pretty good, and he's got the bug. He's got it pretty bad, you know. He said he wanted to be a pro golfer, you know, but I think this music thing has got him by the throat now. And my daughter has a very good ear. She's doing the dance thing too. She's playing. She took piano lessons for a while, but I had to pull her back. I think I'm going to teach her myself, try to develop her ear first,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we can go ahead and get with the theory.
And that brings me to a question I was going to ask you. Speaking about your own kids and their possible interest in pursuing music as a career, or at least as a partial career, I was wondering what advice you have for them, and that might also be applicable to other young people who are listening right now.
Well, young people, if you're listening, you're listening to one of the best people that around town that supports jazz. Keep listening. Tell your friends and your enemies. Because
your check's in the mail. There must be something else, though.
No. What it is this. Okay, listen. A lot of young people, what they tend to do is they tend to try to emulate what they hear on the radio and what they hear from artists today. And that's good, because I did that coming up too. But I really didn't develop my sound until I started listening to artists from yesteryear. And I was in college. I can remember this like it was yesterday. I was in college, and a young lady, I was singing with a big band in college, and she said, I sounded like Lou Rawls. And I was like, what? Man, I'm trying to sound like, you know, I think I was trying to sound like Peebo Bryson or something like that, but my voice was changing. And I basically listened to Lou Rawls, and I heard a lot of Lou Rawls growing up. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and embrace that. And as I listened to Lou Rawls, you know, when you listen to Lou, my dad used to tell me, when you've heard Lou, you heard it all.
Oh, yeah.
And 'cause this guy sang everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to Lou, and I listened to Joe Williams. I was really trying to sound like Joe Williams, and you know, but Lou Rawls is good enough for me. And I think the young people need to understand that. Listen, you have to just dig deep. You have to dig deep into the archives, and not only listen to if you're a female, not only listen to female artists, but listen to male artists also, because you can learn so much from listening to everyone. And when you emulate a lot of other different singers and horn players, that's how you develop your own sound. Because what you want to do is you want to have your sound to be distinctive, and you don't want anyone to say, well, listen, you sound like someone that's actually being heard on the radio today. You know, being compared to Lou Rawls is a great thing because, I mean, you know, he's one of the great ones. You know, so.
Not too shabby at all, no.
Not too shabby at all. We've got the same initials, too, so I'm proud of that.
Okay, let's go over it one more time, and then we'll be about ready to wrap up our conversation with another track from Hello World. Lenard Rutledge is my guest, if I haven't mentioned it often enough during the course of our conversation, and he will be performing at two dates in South Florida this weekend, another local tour, first in Palm Beach, and that is, well, I'm going to let you run it down, Lenard.
That's Jazz on the Palm, and that's up in West Palm Beach. It's called, I think it's 101 South Flagler Street. In West Palm Beach, Florida. Come on out. It's right off the water. Great spot. Good little eatery spots around there. I got some buddies from college that are going to be coming up to check me out. If you don't want to go that far, you can come to Concert on the Fairway at the Senator Golf Course, which is also known as Shula's Golf Course. And the one in the Jazz on the Palm, I think that's at from 8 to 10, and Concert on the Fairway is from 7, I think, to 10. I'm not sure exactly what the time, but come on out, bring your lawn chairs. I think they'll have food out there. They always have good food out there. And live music is always good for the soul, so come on out and support live music.
Yes, you have to feed the musicians. That's how we get more music.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and if you bring your children will maybe inspired to become musicians also.
How we get more musicians.
And that's how we have a better world also.
One more thing. The recording, your EP or series of EPs that you got coming out, can you give us an ETA on your EPs?
Well, we're shooting for Valentine's Day, but it may come in, you know, I may try to do that around April.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, my kids got my birthday. They have birthdays in March, so I got to prepare for that, you know.
Yeah.
They want a puppy. God, man. And so we're probably going to shoot for April. And then, you know, every 3 months we'll go ahead and try to release something new. So it's going to be some acoustic treatments. We're going to take some old songs, not so old songs, and we're going to do acoustic treatments of it, and we're going to do some electric treatments of it. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be some good stuff on there. Stuff you can dance to, stuff that you can... you know, you can play with when you're with that someone special, you know, and it's going to be some good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah, you have sung the lullaby at Sleepy Time on Evening Jazz on more than one occasion. So
I have?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one did you play?
Let's see. If You Never Come to Me is one of my favorites.
Oh, man, yeah. That's you know, when we decided to record that, we didn't think we were going to do it that slow, but, you know, we counted it off and. And that was like a second or third take, and we took it really slow, and I was like, wow, yeah, let's leave it like this.
And then Gingy, of course, is not far behind.
Yeah, Gingy, we decided to go ahead and give that a little contemporary treatment. You know, notice I said contemporary, not smooth. I don't think that exists anymore.
We try not to call names around here.
Yeah, well, you know, well, hey.
What did Duke Ellington say? Allegedly, there are two kinds of music.
Good and bad.
We specialize in good.
That's right.
So, that said, what do you want to play from Hello World, Lenard? As we say goodnight, I've got Gingy ready to go, but if you'd prefer another track, this is your choice because it's all about you.
You know what? Let Gingy go because, you know, a lot of the other stuff has extended solos in there, so Gingy will be great.
All right.
Play Gingy.
Anything else you want to say to my friends as we say goodnight?
Listen, support live music. It is the lifeblood of the arts. Expose your children to live music. Bring them out. Always bring them out, especially since it's free. You might as well bring them on out. It's a Friday night. It's a Saturday night. Let your kids be exposed to some great musicianship, live music, not all this synthesized stuff. Bring your children up right way. Live music is good for their soul.
I'll get the information about your dates up on my Real Tracy Fields Facebook page. Lenard, where can people get in touch with you?
You can reach me on Facebook at Lennard Rutledge. I don't have a website right now because Facebook is just the best way. That's the best thing running right now.
Yeah, the price Facebook on it is right also at the moment.
Yeah, it's so free. Yeah, free is always good, you know. I also have a Twitter account. If you want to reach me on Twitter, it's Lennard Rutledge, I guess Twitter, at Twitter. I don't use it that much, but, you know, I get the alerts. You can check me out. Go ahead and ask, be my friend on Facebook. I always could use more friends.
Lennard Rutledge, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us tonight.
Thank you, Tracy.
And if you would, as we say goodnight here, please introduce Gingy.
Well, this is an Antonio Carlos Jobim tune. We tried to give it a contemporary treatment. I think on trumpet, we have John Kaz, Mike Orta on piano, Don Wilner on bass, and Mr. Mike Harvey on drums. Take a listen to Gingy.
Thank you, Lennard.
Sky so vast is the sky, with faraway clouds just wandering by. Where do they go? I don't know. I don't know. Wind that speaks to the leaves, telling stories that no one believes. Stories of love belong to you and me. Oh, Gingy, if I only had words, I would say all the beautiful things that I see when you're with me. Oh, my Gingy. Oh, Gingy. Like the song of the wind, that's how my heart is singing. When you're with me, lovely Gingy, I love you more each day. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I let you go away. I'd be running and searching for you like a river that can't find the sea. That would be me without you, my Gingy. Without you, my Gingy. without you, my Ginger. Without you, my Ginger. Without you, my Ginger.
Our Leonard Rutledge, Miami born and bred and still hanging around and still making good music. That comes from his 2006 release, Hello World. We were just talking with Leonard Rutledge, who promises when he has the new music ready, or maybe even a little bit before, he'll share it with us.